Paramount, a Viacom company. Paramount Pictures presents a Rick Berman production. A Jonathan Frakes film. Star Trek Insurrection. Piles of hay stand on the banks above a tranquil river. A little blonde-haired boy pops out of the middle of one mound. Starring Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, Brent Spiner. Now a bridge spanning the river and beyond a peaceful rural settlement. LeVar Burton, Michael Dorn, Gates McFadden. Smoke rises from some of the modest square houses. They're white with tiered roofs and large open windows. People go about their business in the sunshine. Marina Sirtis, F. Murray Abraham, Donna Murphy, Anthony Zerbe. A sluice gate is opened and water rushes into a walled vegetable garden. Associate producer Patrick Stewart. A young man dressed in a simple loose shirt and trousers with an open waistcoat keeps an eye on the water irrigating the crop. A puff of flour is sent into the air by a woman kneading dough. A fair-haired young man opposite does the same and she smiles. Director of photography, Matthew F. Leonetti, ASC. At an open-air forge, hot metal is cooled in a container of water. Based upon Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Story by Rick Berman and Michael Piller. An attractive woman with long brown hair walks over to a man talking to a child. She gently rests her hand on the man's shoulder and he smiles. Directed by Jonathan Frakes. Above the village, the woman and the others are being observed.
Area 7 to command.
Go ahead.
We could use another survey team out here, sir.
Base to Ensign McCauley and Ensign Giles. Please report to Area 7 and assist the Itophology team.
Acknowledged.
The area within a small rectangle is highlighted, superimposed on the window. Two figures in red costumes inside the rectangle are walking through the village below. However, once they move outside the rectangle, they disappear. They cannot be seen by the villagers.
Admiral Dougherty's waiting for this. Transmitted to the ship.
Alert! Area 12!
Up on a grassy hillside, children are running. A phaser blast hits a rock behind them.
The android! He's out of control!
Report!
He's headed toward the village! We're trying to stop him!
Over there!
Magnify.
A rectangle enlarges, showing one figure in a red costume firing on another. The children run, terrified.
Hold your fire.
What is it? What's happening?
In the village, the flowers in a stall are knocked over by an unseen force.
Base to Commander Data.
Rerouting. Micro-hydraulic power distribution. Regulating thermal overload.
Data, report to base immediately.
Transferring positronic matrix functions. Engaging secondary protocols.
He's trying to remove the headpiece.
All field units, intercept the android.
Data chops down two of his pursuers with his hands. The blonde-haired boy from earlier runs to his father.
It's all right.
Data sends another attacker flying through the air and splashing into the river.
Get inside, now.
All the frightened villagers can see is the wild splashing water. Data takes off his helmet, revealing just his pale head to the shocked onlookers. It seems to be floating in midair.
Find shelter! Everyone, get inside! Now, back to your home! Move it! Now, move!
Secondary protocols active.
They can see him.
Stop him, now!
Data approaches the observation window, but is grabbed from behind. He sends his attacker crashing to the ground, then rips off the rest of the special suit.
Commander Data, stand down. That's an order. I repeat, stand down!
Data reaches down to the fallen attacker and picks up his phaser. He fires at a rock face in front of him. The people in the observation room duck down. Again, he walks forwards and fires into the mountain. The rock face melts away, revealing the stark grey observation building. The fallen men in the red suits are revealed to the villagers for the first time. The crew from the observation building peer out of the windows.
Who are they?
The villagers stare up in awe and shock. Some of the crew are aliens. The skin across their faces looks as though it's pulled tightly over their skulls. Data glares up at them. Now, on board the Enterprise, Captain Picard's in his dress uniform. Dr. Crusher and Deanna Troi are with him.
It's an M-class planet, population 300 million.
Say the greeting again.
Eugene Chefaw, emphasis on the chin and the fall.
You either need a new uniform or a new neck.
Eugene Chefaw, my collar size is exactly as it was at the Academy.
Of course it is.
Our guests have arrived. They are eating the floral arrangements on the banquet tables.
I guess they don't believe in cocktails before dinner.
Oh my God, are they vegetarian? That's not in there.
Perhaps we should have the chef whip up a light balsamic vinaigrette, something that goes well with chrysanthemums. Eugene
Chefaw.
Bridge to Captain Picard.
Go ahead, Ensign.
Command wants to know our ETA at the Gorn system.
The Gorn system?
They need us to mediate some territorial dispute.
No, no. We can't delay the archaeological expedition to Hanoran 2. That'll put us right in the middle of the monsoon season.
Captain.
Thank you.
The diplomatic corps is busy with Dominion negotiations.
Oh, yes. So they need us to put out one more brush fire. Can anyone remember when we used to be explorers?
Deck 10.
Remember, they have a significantly less advanced technology than ours. They only achieved warp drive last year.
And the Federation Council decided to make them a protectorate so quickly.
In view of our losses to the Borg and the Dominion, the Council feels we need all the allies we can get these days.
Captain on deck!
Picard smiles and walks out of the turbo lift. The others follow.
You'll be expected to dance with Regent Kuzar.
Kenji Mondo.
Very funny.
The captain used to cut quite a rope.
Forge to Picard. Captains, I need to talk to you before the reception.
Captain.
Mr. Worf.
Dr. Worf.
What the hell are you doing here?
I was at the Manzar colony.
He's a little late, Geordi. Can I wait? Perimeter.
I don't think so.
But I heard excuse you. Me. Tell him that I'm already here. I'll talk to him when he arrives. Mr. Worf, I have
Geordi, the captain would like you to come up here.
Tell him we've received a communique from Admiral Dougherty. It's about Data.
Riker heads off. At the reception, Picard approaches the head of the delegation.
Eugene Chefaw, Regent Kuzar, welcome aboard the Enterprise.
Captain Picard, may I welcome you in the time-honored tradition of my people.
The Regent Kuzar holds up a beaded length of material. Picard bends down, and it's put on his head.
We are so honored to be accepted within the great Federation family.
We have a dance later, I believe.
I look forward to it.
The regent walks off, and Picard straightens up, still wearing his beaded headdress. He turns to Deanna.
Counselor.
Nice speed work.
Captain, excuse me. Captain. Captain, Admiral Dougherty is aboard a Sona ship in Sector 441. He's requesting data schematics.
Is something wrong?
The message doesn't say.
Well, data should have been back by now. They were only scheduled to observe the Baku village for 1 week. Geordi, would you set up a secure comm link with the Admiral in the anteroom?
I see. Captain, Hars Adislaw, we met at the Nelbato conference last year. Did you ever have a chance to read my paper on thermionic transconductance?
Would you excuse me?
Now, via the comlink, Admiral Dougherty to Picard.
He's not acknowledging any Starfleet protocols, not responding to any of our hails.
Have you any idea what precipitated this behavior?
None. Now he's holding our people hostage down there.
Well, the Enterprise could be at your position in 2 days, Admiral.
That's probably not a good idea. Your ship hasn't been fitted for this region. There are environmental concerns.
What kind of concerns?
We haven't fully identified the anomalies yet. They're calling this whole area the Briar Patch. It took us a day to reach a location where we could even get a signal to you. Just get me Data's schematics. I'll keep you informed. Doherty out.
Picard turns to Geordi LaForge.
His emotion chip?
He didn't take it with him.
Send the Admiral Data's schematics.
Aye, sir.
Picard raises his finger to a nearby ensign.
Yes, sir.
Ensign, would you report to the galley and tell the chef to skip the fish course?
Aye, sir.
I would like our guest to depart as soon as etiquette allows. I'm going to ask Worf to delay his return to DS9 so that he can join us. We're going to stop by Sector 441 on our way to the Garn system.
They are in opposite directions, sir.
Are they?
Geordi gives Picard a conspiratorial smile as they part. Picard replaces his beaded headdress and with a big smile heads back into the reception. On board the sonar ship, an alien, Ruafo, is having his skin pulled tight over his face.
I never should have let you talk me into that duck blind in the first place. Your Federation procedures have made this mission 10 times as difficult as it needed to be.
Our procedures were in place to protect the planet's population from unnecessary risk.
Planet's population? 600 people. You want to avoid unnecessary risks? Next time, leave your android home.
Bridge to Adaro Alpha. We are approaching the planet.
Take us into a high orbit. Lie down, Admiral. The girls will take 20 years off your face.
Another time, perhaps.
Your self-restraint puzzles me, Admiral. You continue to deny yourself every benefit this mission has to offer.
I prefer to wait until we can share the benefits with all the people of the Federation.
Report.
Phaser blast, unknown origin.
Raise shields.
Ruafo is knocked off balance.
Take us out of orbit.
Photon torpedoes, brace for impact!
One crew member is sent tumbling over his console.
The vessel has broken off pursuit, sir. Visual contact!
The ship flies close to the planet's rings.
That's our ship.
Doherty turns to look at Ruafo. Meanwhile, the small fighting ship maneuvers away from the craft. Data is at the controls. Now the Enterprise cruising through space. Geordi's on the bridge.
Captain, we're about to lose all communications with Starfleet.
Do you have everything you need from command?
I've downloaded all the files on the duck blind mission and the sonar.
You have 2 days to become experts.
Deanna and Riker head off.
Mr. Worf, our job is to come up with a plan to safely capture Data.
I've already had Commander LaForge modify this tricorder with one of Data's actuation servos. Its operational range is only 4 meters, but it will shut him down.
Good to have you back, Mr. Worf.
Slow to 1/3. Take us in.
The Enterprise heads towards a huge and spectacular copper-tinged nebula. It slides deep into its cloudy interior. Riker is checking out computer monitors.
Half century ago, they conquered 2 primitive races, the Tarlac and the Allura, and then integrated them into their culture as a labor class. Look at this. The Sona are known to have produced mass quantities of the narcotic Ketracel White.
Deanna moves in close.
Their ships are rumored to be equipped with isolytic subspace weapons outlawed by the Second Khitomer Accord.
Why would we be involved with these people?
Good question.
They smile, and she plays with his hair at the back of his neck.
You haven't done that in a long time.
What?
What you doing to my neck?
Was I doing something to your neck?
Bridge to Commander Worf. Worf!
Captain.
I don't know how they do it on Deep Space Nine, but on the Enterprise, we still report for duty
on time.
Worf bangs his head as he sits up in bed.
Sorry, sir. I'm on my way.
We'll skip the court-martial this time. Picard out. When was the last time we aligned the torque sensors?
2 months ago, sir.
They don't sound right.
The torque sensors are out of alignment. By 12 microns. You could hear that?
When I was an ensign, I could detect a 3-micron misalignment.
Excuse me, sir. The Sona ship with Admiral Doherty aboard has entered tracking range.
Straighten your boulder, Commander. On screen.
Captain, I wasn't expecting you.
This is too important for the Enterprise to be on the sidelines, Admiral.
I wish I had better news. Commander Data attacked us in the mission scout ship yesterday. Worf and I have decided to send in an assault team.
Commander Worf and I are working on several tactical plans to save...
Your android has turned dangerously violent, Captain. Considerable damage was done to my ship. He must be destroyed.
I know what Data means to Starfleet, Jean-Luc, but our crew is at the mercy of those people on the planet.
If our first attempt to capture Data fails, I will terminate him. I should be the one to do it. I'm his captain. And his friend.
All right. You have 12 hours, Captain. Then I want you out at the Briar Patch. In the meantime, we'll head out to the perimeter to call for sonar reinforcements in case you fail.
Understood.
Good luck, Captain. Dougherty out.
Next, a shuttle is launched from the Enterprise. On board is Picard and Worf.
Sensors are not picking up any ships coming from the surface.
Transmit a wideband covariance signal. That ought to get his attention.
He must be using the planet's rings to mask his approach.
The metaphasic radiation for the rings is in a state of extreme flux. We'll steer clear of those.
Picard looks out of the window.
Come out, wherever you are.
Sir?
That's something that my mother...
Hold on!
Worf takes a seat beside Picard as the shuttle comes under attack.
Open all hailing frequencies. Data, this is Captain Picard.
Data, please respond.
Data ignores the message and continues his phaser barrage.
If we fire tachyon bursts, it might force him to reset his shield harmonics. When he does, we can beam him out.
Make it so.
The second burst is on target.
Direct hit. He's resetting his shield harmonics.
Beam him out.
A figure begins to materialize, then vanishes.
He has activated a transport inhibitor.
Prepare to enter the atmosphere. We'll use the ionospheric boundary to shake him.
The craft's forward shields glow from the immense heat.
Scanners are offline.
Evasive maneuvers heading 140 Mark 3-1.
Worf staves off a coolant leak when the high pressure causes a breach. Data draws the scout ship parallel to the shuttle and looks Picard in the eye coldly as he passes.
He can fly a ship. He can anticipate tactical strategies. Clearly his brain is functioning. We've seen how he responds to threats. I wonder how he would respond... Mr. Worf, do you know Gilbert and Sullivan?
No, sir. I have not had a chance to meet all the new crew members since I have been back.
They're composers, Worf. From the 19th century.
Picard pulls up a British tar on his console.
Data was rehearsing a production of HMS Pinafore just before he left.
A British tar is a soaring soul, as free as a mountain bird. His energetic fist should be ready to resist a dictatorial word.
Sing, Worf, sing.
His nose should pant.
And his lips should curl.
His cheeks should flame.
And his brow should furl.
His bosom should heave.
And his heart should glow.
And his fist be ever ready for a knockdown blow. His nose should pant, and his lips should curl. His cheek should flame, and his brow should furl. His bosom should heave, and his heart should glow. And his fist be ever ready for a knockdown blow.
Prepare the docking clamps.
His eye should flash with an inborn fire. His brow with scorn be wrung. He never should bow down to a domineering frown.
Or the tang of a tyrant tongue.
His heart should stamp,
and his throat should growl.
His hair should curl,
and his face should scowl.
His eyes should flash,
and his breast protrude.
And this should be his customary attitude.
The shuttle clamps itself to the underside of the scout ship.
Inertial coupling is exceeding tolerance. If we do not release him, he may destroy both vessels.
I'm not letting go of him.
Data sends both craft into a spiraling nosedive.
We must stabilize the damping field.
Reroute emergency power to inertial dampers.
The auto sequencer was damaged by phaser fire.
Transferring controls to manual.
The vessels spin towards the ground.
Power sequence realigned. Engaging stabilizers.
Damping field established.
Maximum power.
Picard pulls up in time to avoid catastrophe and manages to stabilize the shuttle's flight.
Now, Mr. Worf.
Blasting through the scout ship's hatch, Worf incapacitates Data at the third attempt using the modified tricorder. It shuts the android down. Worf slaps his hand on his communicator.
Captain, Commander Data is safely in custody.
Later, Picard, Beverly, and Deanna are part of the away team, which beams down to the planet with phasers at the ready. Picard, smiling as they set off to investigate. Young children are playing a ball game beside a picnic area where Federation crew members are among the adults sitting down to eat. Picard's met by a welcoming committee.
Captain, Subedar Gallatin, Sona Command.
Lieutenant Curtis, attaché to Admiral Dougherty.
Are you all right?
We've been treated extremely well. They have incredible mental discipline. Clarity of perception.
My name is Soja.
Jean-Luc Picard. These are my officers, Dr. Crusher, Counselor Troy.
Would you like something to eat?
No, we're here to rescue them.
As you wish, but I would ask you to disarm yourselves. This village is a sanctuary of life.
Picard puts away his phaser.
Prepare the hostages for transport to the ship.
They should be quarantined before joining the ship's population.
Picard has a word with Sojev and his female companion.
We were under the impression they were being held against their will.
It's not our custom to have guests here at all, let alone hold anyone against their will.
The artificial life form would not allow them to leave. In fact, he told us they were our enemies and that more would follow.
Are you our enemy?
Anish.
My people have a strict policy of non-interference in other cultures. It's our prime directive.
Your directive apparently doesn't include spying on other cultures.
The artificial life form is a member of my crew. Apparently, he was taken ill.
There was a phase variance in his positronic matrix, which we were unable to repair.
I think the captain finds it hard to believe that we'd have any skills repairing a positronic device.
Our technological abilities are not apparent because we have chosen not to employ them in our daily lives. We believe that when you create a machine to do the work of a man, you take something away from the man.
But at one time we explored the galaxy just as you do.
You have warp capability.
Capability, yes. But where can warp drive take us except away from here?
Picard notices an exotic alien bird hovering by flowers.
I apologize for our intrusion.
He joins the rest of the away team. Later, Picard's communicating with Dougherty.
And because they have warp capability, the consequences to their society will be minimal.
You've done a terrific job, Jean-Luc. Now pack your bags and get the hell out of there. How's Data?
In stasis. LaForge is completing the diagnostic.
I'll need all your paperwork tomorrow. We're heading back your way. Set a course to rendezvous with us so you can transfer the crew and equipment on your way out.
You're not finished here?
Just a few loose ends to tie up. Dougherty out.
Dougherty severs the link abruptly. Sitting at his ready room desk, Picard picks up a data pad. Tapping the keys routinely, he's soon distracted by the magnificent blue-ringed planet outside his window. Getting to his feet, he steps towards it and looks through the glass, smiling wistfully. Deanna's in her quarters.
Come in.
It's Riker.
Hi.
You got a minute?
Sure.
I need a little counseling.
Well, it's the first time for everything.
So do I lie down or what?
Well, whatever makes you comfortable. That
This isn't one of the usual therapeutic postures.
But it is comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you try sitting up?
Why don't you try lying down?
Well, you're in quite a mood today. Do you really need counseling, or did you come down here to play?
I think I'm having a midlife crisis.
I believe you.
I'm not sleeping well.
Dr. Crusher has something that can take care of that.
What I need, I can't get from Dr. Crusher. Counselor, do you think it's possible for two people to go back in time, fix a mistake they've made?
On this ship, anything's possible.
She pushes him away when he kisses her.
Yuck!
Yuck!
I never kissed you with a beard before.
I kiss you and you say yuck?
Deanna locks him out of her room, grinning. Geordi's with Captain Picard.
I had to reconstruct Data's neural net and replace these. They contained memory engrams.
How were they damaged?
By a sonar weapon. There's no doubt about it, Captain. That's what caused Data to malfunction.
But the sonar report claims that they didn't fire until after he malfunctioned.
Well, I don't believe it happened that way.
Why would they fire on him without provocation?
All I know is that he was functioning normally until he was shot. Then his failsafe system was activated.
Failsafe?
His ethical and moral subroutines took over all of his basic functions.
But you're saying that he still knew the difference between right and wrong.
In a sense, that's all he knew. The system is designed to protect Data against anyone who might try to take advantage of his memory loss.
And yet he attacked us, and he told the Baku that we were a threat. The implant's bothering you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I think I'm just tired.
Geordi opens a compartment in which Data is secured by restraints. The android seems confused when he switched on.
Geordi? Captain?
You're on the Enterprise, Data.
I seem to be missing several memory engrams. There they are.
Geordi releases Data and he steps out.
Data, what's the last thing that you remember?
His nose should pant and his lips should curl.
From the mission.
I was in an isolation suit gathering physiometric data on the Baku. My last memory is going into the hills following some children.
Now, Picard and Data are with Sojev and Anish on the planet.
Artem, do you remember where you were on the day of lightning when the artificial life form appeared to us?
In the hills by the dam.
Can you show us?
Artem nods, then jumps down from the branch of a tree with his friend, and they run off through the meadow. A little later, Artem and Data are eyeing each other curiously.
There is no reason to fear me. I am now operating within normal parameters.
What?
They fixed me.
Sojev ushers Artem away from Data.
Captain, the boy is afraid of me.
It's nothing personal, Data. You have to remember, these people have rejected technology.
I am the personification of everything they have rejected.
Until this week, that young man probably never saw a machine, let alone one that walks and talks.
Bathing with Riker, Deanna's about to give him a shave.
Bridge to Riker.
Can I get back to you, Mr. Worf?
Admiral Daugherty is on the comm link, sir.
Patch him through. Yes, Admiral.
Why haven't you left orbit?
Captain Picard is still on the surface, sir.
Doing what?
He didn't want to leave until we could adequately explain why Data malfunctioned. His future in Starfleet could depend on it.
Daugherty looks at Ruafo.
Remind the captain his 12 hours are up.
Yes, sir.
Daugherty out.
Ruafo's given an injection of green liquid.
Your body is producing far too many toxins. We've reached the limit of genetic manipulation.
I won't need any more genetic manipulation if our Federation friends will allow us to complete this mission.
Tricorder functions are limited due to heavy deposits of kelvinite in these hills.
How about a passive radiation scan?
Curious. There appear to be strong neutrino emissions coming from the lake.
Keeping his eyes fixed on his tricorder, Data steps into the lake and continues walking forward until he's completely submerged. Artem seems concerned.
Can he breathe underwater?
Data doesn't breathe.
Won't he rust?
No.
Artem looks on in awe. Data studies his data pad underwater and looks up in wonder as a fish swims up to him. He pets it gently with his forefinger and it darts away. He gets back to his readings and wades out of the lake further along the shore.
Captain! Captain! I believe I know what is causing the neutrino emissions!
Data is now turning the wheel of an enormous winch that winds up a thick braided rope. A torrential gush of water is released through a round opening. A previously invisible vast metallic shape is being revealed near the far shore. Artem, Anish, Sozhev and the others stare across the sunlit waters, frowning. Picard looks grimly at the ghostly structure that appears only partially solid.
The vessel is clearly Federation in origin, Captain.
Just a few loose ends to tie up.
We're not interested in such things.
I am.
Anish follows Picard and Data onto a raft.
I think it would be wiser.
I'm going with you.
She sits down on the flat surface, then Picard and Data kneel on either side and begin rowing with long oars. The raft nears one straight sloping side of the angular vessel that's mostly submerged. Snow-capped mountains rise up into the blue sky in the distance behind the raft. Data holds out a tricorder. Panels in the vessel part suddenly like an opening elevator. The craft's almost invisible doors appear to open upon a wholly new landscape contained inside. It resembles the village. The three step cautiously through the opening.
It is a holographic projection.
A village rooftop flickers.
Incomplete, I might add.
What you're seeing is a computer-driven image created by photons and force fields.
I know what a hologram is, Captain. The question is, why would anyone want to create one of our village?
Data, if you were following the children and discovered this ship...
It is conceivable I was shot to protect the secret of its existence.
Why would they duplicate this village, except to deceive the Baku?
Deceive us?
To move you off this planet. You go to sleep one night in the village, wake up the next morning on this flying holodeck. Transported en masse. Within a few days, you're relocated on a similar planet without ever realizing it.
Why would the Federation or the Sona wish to move the Baku?
I don't know.
Anish looks troubled. Sparks fly suddenly from phaser impact. Anish leaps out of the craft into the lake. An alien figure fires at Picard, who fires back. Data and Picard fire together and hit the alien, who tumbles from a roof, hitting the ground hard. Picard and Data straighten up and fasten their phasers at their sides.
Computer, end program. Decloak the vessel.
Its outer metal walls appear. Picard and Data both dive from the opening in the ship. Picard reaches Anish, who's floundering in the water.
Don't panic!
I've been shot at, thrown into the lake out of a ship that's come to abduct us. What's there to panic about?
In the event of a water landing, I have been designed to serve as a flotation device.
Data rises several inches in the water. Now he and Picard beam back aboard the Enterprise.
Mr. Worf, did the hostages mention anything about a cloaked ship during their debriefing?
No, sir.
Debrief them again. Have you been in a fight, Mr. Worf?
No, sir. It is a gorge.
A gorge?
Data whispers in Picard's ear. Worf has a bright red spot on the right side of his ridged nose.
Oh, well, it's hardly noticeable.
Data readily agrees, but has one last look quickly before following Picard, leaving Worf mortified. In the corridor, a clean-shaven Riker falls into step beside Data.
Smooth as an android's bottom, eh, Data?
I beg your pardon, sir?
Admiral Dougherty wants to know why we haven't left yet.
We're not going anywhere. Deck 5.
A look passes between Riker and Worf.
Klingons never do anything small, do you?
Dr. Crusher asked to speak to you when you returned.
Picard to Crusher.
Captain, the Sona hostages declined to be examined. I had them confined to quarters.
And our people?
They're fine. In fact, they're better than fine. Increased metabolism, improved muscle tone, high energy. We should all be so lucky.
Very well, Doctor. Picard out. Worf, don't release the Sona officers till I've talked to Ada Ruafo.
Aye, sir.
Commander, may I...
Data strokes Riker's chin, then smiles knowingly as he shakes his head. Picard enters his quarters.
Computer music. No, not that. Something Latin.
Specify.
A mambo. That's more like it.
Picard begins to dance. He stops, catching himself in a mirror, and thoughtfully runs his hands slowly along his jawline. He looks troubled by a dark thought. A knock on an unlit door. Anish opens it.
How old are you?
Sojev.
We came here from a solar system on the verge of self-annihilation, where technology had created weapons that threatened to destroy all life. A small group of us set off to find a new home. A home that would be isolated from the threats of other worlds. That was 309 years ago.
And you haven't aged a day since then.
Actually, I was a good deal older when we arrived, in terms of my physical condition.
There's an unusual metaphasic radiation coming from the planet's rings. It continuously regenerates our genetic structure. You must have noticed the effects by now.
We've just begun to.
Picard smiles at Artem.
I suppose you're 75.
No, I'm 12.
The metaphasic radiation won't begin to affect him until he reaches maturity.
To most offlanders, what you have here is more valuable than gold-pressed latinum. I'm afraid that's the reason that someone may be trying to take your world away from you.
The artificial life form is right.
If it were not for Data, it's probable that you would be relocated by now.
How can we possibly defend ourselves?
The moment we pick up a weapon, we become one of them. We lose everything we are.
It may not come to that. Clearly, the architects of this conspiracy want to keep it a secret. Not only from you, but from my people as well.
Picard puts down his cup and looks at Sojev.
I don't intend to let them.
Later, Anish is walking with Picard in the darkness.
We've always known that to survive, we had to remain apart. Hasn't been easy. Many of the young people want to know more about the offland. They're attracted to stories of a faster pace of life.
Most of my people who live that faster life would sell their souls to slow it down.
But not you.
There are days.
You don't live up to your reputation as an offlander, Picard.
Well, in defense of offlanders, there are many more people like me.
Who wouldn't be tempted by the promise of perpetual youth? I don't think so.
You give me more credit than I deserve. Well, of course I'm tempted. Who wouldn't be? But some of the darkest chapters in the history of my world involve the forced relocation of a small group of people to satisfy the demands of a large one. I'd hoped that we had learned from our mistakes, but it seems that some of us haven't.
Picard marvels at a large tapestry.
This is extraordinary craftsmanship.
It's the work of students. They're almost ready to become apprentices. 30 or 40 years, some of them will take their place among the artisans.
Apprenticing for 30 years. Did your people's mental discipline develop here?
More questions. Always the explorer. If you stay long enough, that'll change.
Will it?
You stop reviewing what happened yesterday. Stop planning for tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced a perfect moment in time?
A perfect moment?
When time seemed to stop, and you could almost live in that moment.
Seeing my home planet from space for the first time.
Yes, exactly. Nothing more complicated than perception. You explore the universe. We've discovered that a single moment in time can be a universe in itself, full of powerful forces. Most people aren't aware enough of the now to even notice.
I wish I could spare a few centuries to learn.
It took us centuries to learn that it doesn't have to take centuries to learn.
There's one thing I don't understand. In 300 years, you never learned to swim.
I just haven't got around to it yet.
She steps away from him with a smile, then turns back.
I wonder if you're aware of the trust you engender, Jean-Luc Picard. In my experience, it's unusual for...
For an offlander?
For someone so young.
She turns away and goes back inside, glancing back once at Picard before softly closing her door, breaking their gaze. Picard heads away with a contented smile. Later, he crosses the village's graceful curving bridge in the twilight and looks out over the dark waters with a hand on the rail. Geordi stands silhouetted under a red sky.
Geordi.
Captain. As it turns out, there wasn't anything wrong with my implants at all. There was something right. My eyes.
Geordi's eyes have become brown.
When Dr. Crusher removed the ocular connection, she found that the cells around my optic nerve had...
started to regenerate.
It may not last. And if it doesn't, I just want it before we go. You know, I've never seen a sunrise. At least, not the way you see them.
He smiles at his captain, then looks out with wonder at the flame-red dawn over a pale, distant mountain range beyond a sweeping plain. The Enterprise cruises in orbit, followed by larger sonar ships.
Come.
Ruafo and the Admiral.
Am I to understand that you're not releasing my men, Captain?
We found the holo ship.
Ruafo, why don't you let the Captain and me...
No!
In his temper, a blood vessel bursts and leaks through a wound on Ruafo's forehead.
This entire mission has been one Federation blunder after another. You will return my men, or this alliance will end with the destruction of your ship.
He turns, glaring, and strides out of Picard's ready room. Doughty turns to look at the captain in a businesslike manner.
You're looking well, Jean-Luc. Rested.
I won't let you move them, Admiral. I will take this to the Federation Council.
I'm acting on orders from the Federation Council.
How can there be an order to abandon the Prime Directive?
Prime Directive doesn't apply. These people are not indigenous to this planet. They were never meant to be immortal. We'll simply be restoring them to their natural evolution.
Who the hell are we to determine the next course of evolution for this people?
Jean-Luc, there are 600 people down there. We'll be able to use the regenerative properties of this radiation to help billions. The Sona have developed a procedure to collect the metaphasic particles from the planet's rings.
A planet in Federation space.
That's right. We have the planet, they have the technology. A technology we can't duplicate. You know what that makes us? Partners.
Our partners are nothing more than petty thugs.
On Earth, petroleum once turned petty thugs into world leaders. Warp drive transformed a bunch of Romulan thugs into an empire. We can handle the Sona. I'm not worried about that.
Someone probably said the same thing about the Romulans a century ago.
With metaphasics, lifespans will be doubled. An entire new medical science will evolve. I understand your chief engineer has the use of his eyes for the first time in his life. Would you take that away from him?
There are metaphasic particles all over the Briar Patch. Why does it have to be this one planet?
It's the concentration in the rings that makes the whole damn thing work. Don't ask me to explain it. I only know they inject something into the rings that starts a thermolytic reaction. When it's over, the planet will be uninhabitable for generations.
Admiral, delay the procedure. Let my people look at the technology.
Our best scientific minds already have. We can't find any other way to do this.
Then the Sona can establish a separate colony on the planet until we do.
It would take 10 years of normal exposure to begin to reverse their condition. Some of them won't survive that long. Besides, they don't want to live in the middle of the Briar Patch. Who would?
The Baku.
Doughty takes a deep breath, looking steadily at Picard.
We are betraying the principles upon which the Federation was founded. It's an attack upon its very soul.
The muscles in Doughty's clenched jaw twitch. Picard turns slowly from the Admiral, then paces the room.
And it will destroy the Baku. Just as cultures have been destroyed in every other forced relocation throughout history.
Jean-Luc, we're only moving 600 people.
How many people does it take, Admiral, before it becomes wrong? 1,000? 50,000? 1,000,000? How many people does it take, Admiral?
I'm ordering you to the Gorin system. I'm also ordering the release of the Sona officers. File whatever protests you wish to, Captain. By the time you do, this will all be done.
The ready room doors slide shut, leaving Picard alone, deep in thought. He now enters his quarters. A desk is cluttered with data pads. He pauses inside the door, then wanders through the room. He begins detaching the four button-shaped brass ranking pips attached to the tight-fitting scarlet collar of his undertunic. Slowly and deliberately, he places the small solid discs on the table. A tooth is surgically implanted in a sonar patient's upper jaw. Gallatin stalks through the room where they're being treated to Ruafo's treatment chair.
Gallatin. So, the righteous Starfleet captain finally released you.
Yes.
Did you encounter any problems on the surface?
No, sir. But it wasn't easy being among them.
I'm sure. Just don't forget what they did to us. We'll have them rounded up in a day or two. We needn't bother with a Federation hollow ship anymore. Just get the holding cells ready.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to miss these little flesh-stretching sessions of ours, my dear.
His female aide activates equipment around Raffo's head, and the skin covering his face begins to tighten. Dark grey containers materialize on a transporter pad. Dressed in casual clothing, Picard opens one of them. It's filled with a row of large weapons. Picard checks one, then moves two smaller cases.
Rerouting the transport grid to avoid detection was wise, sir. However, the transporter is rarely used after 0200 hours.
taking the captain's yacht out for a spin?
7 metric tons of ultridium explosives, 8 tetraon pulse lodgers, and 10 isomagnetic disintegrators.
Looks like you're planning on doing some hunting.
Return to your quarters. That's an order.
No uniform, no orders.
Captain, how could I look at another sunrise knowing what my sight cost these people?
I feel obliged to point out that the environmental anomalies may have stimulated certain rebellious instincts common to youth, which could affect everyone's judgment. Except mine, of course.
Okay, Data, what do you think we should do?
Saddle up. Lock and load.
Picard smiles his gratitude to his loyal friends and crew.
They won't begin the procedure while the planet is still inhabited. So, our job is to keep the planet inhabited. Will, Geordi, go back and put a face on what's happening here. Make the Council see the Baku. It's too easy to turn a blind eye to the suffering of a people you don't know.
I'll be back before you know it.
We'll hold out as long as we can.
Riker smiles back grimly at Picard, then he and Geordi head off. A smaller ship detaches from the underside of the Enterprise's hull. In a sonar control room, stats and graphics appear on a large oval screen. The room's doors slide open, and Ruafo looks up at Gallatin.
The injector performs perfectly in every simulation.
Sir, as the Enterprise left orbit, one of their support craft went down to the surface.
What?
Appeared to be the captain's yacht. 5 persons on board.
We're not waiting until morning. Take the shuttles and get everyone off the surface tonight. Gallatin! If Picard or any of his people interfere, eliminate them.
Gallatin nods and strides away.
We're leaving the village! Take only what you need! Bring food! We may not be back for days!
The Enterprise away team are helping the villagers. Data and Deanna set up a piece of equipment. Data spots Artem.
It is a transport inhibitor. It will help prevent spaceships from beaming anyone off the surface.
But Artem's ignored him.
These veins of kelvinite running through the hills will interfere with their transporters. And when the terrain forces us away from the deposits, then we'll use transport inhibitors as a compensation. The mountains have the heaviest concentration of kelvinite. Once there, it'll make transport virtually impossible.
There are caves in those mountains.
Then we should be able to hold out for a long time, once we're there. But they're not going to make it easy for us to get there.
Captain, we have activated the transport inhibitors around the village.
Good.
Two crescent-shaped craft appear in the sky above.
Let's move these people out!
They swoop over the settlement, aboard one of the sonar ships.
Transporters are not functioning.
They're blocking the beams with some kind of inhibitors. We'll have to locate and destroy them.
The villagers are getting frantic. Sojev finds Artem with a large bundle of possessions in his arms.
Carrying too much, we have a long climb ahead of us.
The bridge is hit by phaser fire from one of the ships, and the blast sends villagers into the water. The transport inhibitors around the village are being knocked out by phaser fire.
We've lost 3 transport inhibitors. There's a gap in the field.
The villagers surge en masse over open ground, a few carrying wicker baskets. Several of them suddenly shimmer and disappear as they're beamed away. Data urges them on. A blast knocks a handful of people to the ground. Explosions rack the abandoned homes behind them, momentarily lighting up the night. Artem trips and falls. Sojev is one of a few that have just been taken away in a transporter beam. Doughty is sitting with Ruafo and Gallatin.
They're following the kelvinite deposits, using the interference to block our transporters. Recommendations?
Take me down. Let me talk to Picard.
Don't talk. We should send down an assault team and take them by force.
That is not an acceptable option.
If people get hurt, all the support we have in the Federation...
Federation support. Federation procedures. Federation rules. Look in the mirror, Admiral.
The Federation is old. In the past 24 months, they've been challenged by every major power in the Quadrant. The Borg, the Cardassians, the Dominion. They all smell the scent of death on the Federation. That's why you've embraced our offer. Because it will give your dear Federation new life. Well, how badly do you want it, Admiral? Because there are hard choices to be made now. If the Enterprise gets through with news about their brave captain's valiant struggle on behalf of the defenseless Baku, your Federation politicians will waver. Your Federation opinion polls will open a public debate. Your Federation allies will want their say. You... Need I go on?
There's an alternative to an all-out assault. Isolinear tags would allow our transporters to lock onto them.
We'd have to tag every one of them. That would take time, and we don't have it. The Enterprise is only 19 hours from communications range with the Federation.
I'll order Riker to turn around.
Picard's first officer. You really believe he'll listen? My ships are capable of intercepting the Enterprise before it reaches the perimeter. I could send them to escort it back. But Commander Riker might not want to come.
Doughty looks away with a steely glint in his eye.
Send your ships.
It's now daylight on the planet, and Picard is leading the group of refugees through a grassy valley and up a steep green hillside. With the sun on his pale synthetic face, Data looks out at the long line of desperate people. Artem's walking with him.
Do you like being a machine?
I aspire to be more than I am.
I know why. So people like us won't be afraid of you anymore.
Perhaps.
Don't you ever get tired?
My power cells continually recharge themselves.
They rest in the shade.
Can't imagine what it's like to be a machine.
Perhaps it would surprise you to know that I have often tried to imagine what it is like to be a child.
Really?
Really.
For one thing, your legs are shorter than everyone else's.
But they are in a constant state of growth. Do you find it difficult to adapt?
Adapt?
A child's specifications are never the same from one moment to the next. It is a wonder you do not trip over your own feet.
Sometimes I do.
My legs are exactly 87.2 centimeters in length. They were 87.2 centimeters the day I was created. They will be 87.2 centimeters the day I go offline. My operation depends on specifications that do not change. I will never know the experience of growing up or tripping over my own feet.
But you've never had adults telling you what to do all the time, or bedtimes, or having to eat food you don't like.
I would gladly accept the requirement of a bedtime in exchange for knowing what it is like to be a child.
Do machines ever play?
Yes, I play the violin. And my chess routines are quite advanced.
No, I mean, haven't you ever just played for fun?
Androids do not have fun.
Look, if you want to know what it's like to be a child, you need to learn to play.
Data frowns, then raises his eyebrows in bewilderment. Worf runs on ahead through the line of people to catch up with Picard.
Captain. Mr. Worf, you need a haircut. Accelerated hair growth is often experienced by Klingons during Jaqtala.
Jaqtala?
Roughly translated puberty, although for a Klingon that scarcely does it justice. Any severe mood swings, unusual aggressive tendencies, you let me know at once.
Yes, sir. The Baku needs some rest, sir. According to the geoscan, this is the safest area within the next few kilometers.
Very well. We'll take an hour. Have them break out some rations.
Aye, sir.
Picard looks through binoculars.
Right beyond that ridge is where the caves begin. We can hide there for days.
By now, the sonar will have scanned this area. They'll know that as well as we do.
Anish tenderly strokes his bald head.
It's been 300 years since I've seen a bald man.
He smiles in surprise.
How is it that you never married? And don't tell me it's just because you haven't got around to it yet.
What's the rush?
I should warn you, I've always been attracted to older women.
They gaze into each other's eyes, sitting near a waterfall. She rests her hand on his, and he holds it gently. The movement of the water appears to slow down until it almost stops. Anish picks a small lilac flower and blows its pollen softly. The particles hang in the air in a cluster before them.
How are you doing this?
No more questions.
The pollen drifts very slowly through the air, and a hovering bird's wings move smoothly, no longer a blur. On the bridge of the Enterprise.
Commander, I'm showing two Sona ships on an intercept course.
How long till they reach us?
18 minutes.
We won't be able to get a transmission out of here for at least another hour.
They're hailing us.
Tell them our transceiver assembly's down, that we can send messages but not receive them.
I don't think they believe us.
Why not? Photon torpedo. Isn't that a universal greeting when communications are down?
I think it's the universal greeting when you don't like someone.
Full impulse.
Manifolds can't handle full impulse in the patch, Commander.
If we don't outrun them, the manifolds will be the only thing left on the ship.
I'll be in engineering.
Red alert! All hands, battle stations!
And have you noticed how your boobs have started to firm up?
Not that we care about such things in this day and age.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Data.
Sitting with Deanna, Beverly watches Data go with a smile.
I have an odd craving for the blood of a live Kolar beast. This environment must be affecting me again.
And have you noticed how your boobs have started to firm up? Not that we care about...
Take cover!
Two sonar ships are approaching low, and the resting people spring into action. Now small objects are dropped from the ships as they pass. The objects unfold stubby wings, then swoop over the fleeing villagers, firing isolinear tags. The tags beam away the people they hit. More and more people are taken, vanishing in a brief shimmering golden haze. Data fires his phaser at one of the drones, which explodes. He hits another while Artem watches. Another crashes into a rock, and its remains spark on the grass.
Isolinear tags. The transporters can lock onto them.
We have to find shelter.
There's the cavern at the base of the next hill.
This way!
With a grim smile, Beverly crouches behind a rock and aims a large weapon in the air. She knocks out one of the drones. Worf takes out another that's heading for a child that's fallen over. Deanna fires from behind another rock, and Worf exchanges his phaser for a larger weapon. Now the Enterprise cruises through space, streaming thick plumes of smoke from both its engine nacelles. Sonar ships are in pursuit.
Shields at 60%!
Engineering the bridge! We're burning deuterium down here! We're gonna blow ourselves up! We won't need any help from the sonar!
What's inside that nebula cluster?
Cometary debris, pockets of unstable Metreon gas. We don't want to go in there, sir.
Yes, we do. I'll take it from here, Ensign. Time to use the briar patch the way Br'er Rabbit did.
The Enterprise banks gracefully and vanishes into the nebula cluster. Data continues firing his phaser at the drones. He and others duck as one swoops overhead.
Inside the caves, quickly! Everyone! This way!
Inside!
The Enterprise team cover the villagers as they rush into the cave. Worf's weapon has jammed, so he uses it to bat one of the drones to pieces.
Definitely feeling aggressive tendencies, sir.
An explosion blooms behind the Enterprise.
They've detonated an isolinic burst! A subspace terror is forming!
On screen!
I thought subspace weapons were banned by the Kittimer Accord!
Remind me to lodge a protest.
Our warp core's acting like a magnet to the tear! We're pulling it like a zipper across space!
Options!
We could eject the core.
Will that stop the tear?
You got me, Commander.
That's your expert opinion?
Detonating the warp core might neutralize the cascade, then again, it might not. Subspace weapons are unpredictable. That's why they were banned.
Tear's closing on us! Impact in 15 seconds!
Eject the core!
I just did.
Impact! In 10 seconds! Detonate!
Geordi touches a control and the ejected warp core explodes in the glowing rent in space. The blast knocks the Enterprise out of control and a burning crew member is hosed from an extinguisher.
Give me a minute over here!
Riker has fallen on his back. He rolls over onto his side and gets up slowly.
It worked, Commander! The tear has been sealed!
Yeah, but there's nothing to stop them from doing it again. And we're fresh out of warp cores.
We're still 36 minutes from transmission range, sir.
We're through running from these bastards.
The villagers have gathered together in the dark, rocky cave. Picard activates a force field over the entrance that stops one of the hovering drones from getting through. A small furry pet creature crawls out of a bag. Data to Picard.
Another 43 reported taken, sir.
The cave shakes. Three of the sonar ships are bombarding the landscape.
Captain, they're trying to drive us out so their drones can tag us.
With all the hydrothermal vents in the substrata, the structural integrity of this cavern is not going to hold for long.
Is there another way out of here?
I don't know.
Captain, tracking the water's course may reveal another exit.
Mr. Worf, come with us.
Data leads the way through a narrow passageway, holding out a tricorder in front of him.
I am reading a nitrogen-oxygen flow behind that calcite formation, Captain.
Will this structure hold if we were to blast through?
I believe it is safe, sir.
Fire.
The flame and smoke clears, revealing a gaping hole blown into the rock. Picard, Data, and then Worf pick their way through to a chamber on the other side. An opening looks out to other caves in the mountains.
Get everybody into those caves. And set up force fields once they're inside.
Aye, sir.
Inside the nebula cluster, the Enterprise swings round a chunk of cometary debris.
Geordi, are those pockets of Metreon gas?
Yes, Commander. Highly volatile. I recommend we keep our distance.
Negative. I want to use the ram scoop to collect as much of it as we can.
The purpose being?
The purpose being, I intend to shove it down the Sona's throat.
Commander, if one of their weapons hits that gas...
It's our only way out of here, Mr. Daniels.
I wouldn't be surprised if history remembers this as the Riker maneuver.
If it works.
The ram scoop sucks up the gas.
Computer, access manual steering column.
A joystick.
Transfer helm controls to manual.
Bridge, storage cells are at maximum capacity.
They're powering their forward weapons array, sir.
Blow out the ram scoop. Stand by, bolt thrusters.
Ram scoop released.
Riker clenches the joystick grimly with his right hand. The ship soars away, billowing the captured gas in front of the pursuing ships. One fires, and the gas ignites. The first ship explodes, and the second begins breaking apart.
Captain! Data, try! Keep these people moving!
Bring them out!
Sonar soldiers have been down. Worf fires at them, taking them out, while Data helps people climb the mountainside.
I suspect it won't be long before the drones get here.
In the cave.
Keep moving! Keep moving! They found caves on higher ground. We'll be safe there.
Artem realizes he's lost his pet and runs back.
Captain, take a look at this med scan. His DNA profile.
How can that be possible?
Maybe we should ask them.
Artem searches the dark nooks and crannies of the cave his people were sheltering in. He finds his pet on a rock and picks up the hamster-like creature.
Artem, what are you doing? Come.
Anish puts her arm around him and helps him away. They hurry along the passageway through showers of dust and grit.
Is this the last group?
Yes, sir.
Get them ready to move out. We need to hurry.
Anish went to find Artem.
Picard looks serious and heads back with Data in tow. He sees Anish and Artem approaching. He dashes forward and the other two scramble over the rocks in the darkness. Picard lifts Artem in his arms and passes him to Data, who runs back with the boy over his shoulder. Picard puts his arm around Anish to help her.
Go with her now!
No! I want to stay with you!
It's safer there. Go!
Picard and Anish run through a curtain of falling debris. Suddenly, a dark cascade of rock and dust falls, cutting them off from view.
Warp to Picard.
Two life signs, one of them extremely faint.
There are almost 4 metric tons of rock blocking our way.
No, that might cause another cave-in.
Worf and Data begin lifting the fallen rocks away from the passageway. Meanwhile, Picard pushes himself up from the ground. His back's covered in a layer of dust. He sits up slowly and looks around.
Anish. Anish.
Warp to Picard.
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
We are trying to get to you, sir.
Anish.
She's lying with her eyes closed and a pained expression on her face. He moves his tricorder over her.
Help is on the way. Worf, Harry. Anish is hurt.
How bad is she, Captain?
I'm losing her.
We're coming as fast as we can.
Picard looks down at her and takes her hand in his.
Anish, stay with me. Help me find the power to keep you in this moment. Stay with me. Don't let go of this moment.
She turns her head and looks at him with pleading eyes. Slowly, Picard leans down towards her, and the falling dust particles slow to a gentle shower around them. Now Beverly injects Anisha's neck.
She's stabilizing.
Is it safe to move her?
Safer than leaving her here.
Picard helps her to sit up.
And you thought it would take centuries to learn.
He kisses her forehead and smiles. Now, Worf, Beverly, Data, Deanna, and Picard carrying Anish trek across a high mountain ridge far above a lake and with snow-capped peaks rising behind them. Five sonar drones appear and hover in the air directly in front of them. The Enterprise crew stare back at the devices, and Picard gently lowers Anish to the ground. The drones begin shifting position. With a determined expression, Data hands Picard a large weapon. Straight away, the team are forced to jump for cover and begin firing. Two drones burst into sparks. Data rolls over a large rock and snaps off a burst from his phaser. Both Anish and Picard are stunned by Isolinia tags and transported away. All the captured Baku villagers are being held under armed guard aboard Raffo's ship. Gallatin nods to a guard who lowers a force field so that he and Doughty can pass through. The despondent people part as Doughty moves towards Picard, who has his arm around Anish.
Order them to surrender, and I promise you won't be court-martialed.
If a court-martial is the only way to let the people of the Federation know what is happening here, I welcome it.
The Enterprise has destroyed one of my ships. The other is on fire, requesting assistance.
The Enterprise would only fire to defend itself. Ruafo must have ordered the attack. I can't believe he would have given that order without your consent, Admiral. I wonder which of us will be facing that court-martial.
There's nothing further to be gained from this.
You're right. This is going to end now. The Baku want to stay on the planet, let them. I'm going to launch the injector.
You're not going to launch anything.
In 6 hours, every living thing in this system will be dead or dying.
You would kill your own people, Ruafo. Your own parents, brothers, sisters. Didn't you know, Admiral?
The Sonar and the Baku are the same race.
Sojev.
Picard just told us. Our DNA is identical. Which one were you?
Golna. Routine.
Those names, those children are gone forever.
What's he talking about?
A century ago, a group of our young people wanted to follow the ways of the Offlanders. They tried to take over the colony, and when they failed...
When we failed, you exiled us to die slowly.
You're Routine, aren't you? There's something in the voice. Would you be his friend, Golna? I helped your mother bathe you when you were a child. She still speaks of you.
You've brought the Federation into the middle of a blood feud, Admiral. The children have returned to expel their elders, just as they were once expelled. Except that Ruafo's need for revenge has now escalated into parricide.
It was for the Federation. It was all for the Federation.
Later, the Admiral seeks out Ruafo.
We're taking this ship out of here. This mission is over.
It is not over.
It is over!
Ruafo strikes the Admiral across the face, then hurls him into equipment.
I do not take orders from you!
Ruafo smashes Doughty's head through a glass cabinet. He then throws him down onto his treatment chair, and the equipment closes around Doughty's chest.
If you launch an injector while the planet's still populated, the Federation will pursue you until...
Federation?
We'll never know what happened here.
The skin-stretching apparatus closes around Doughty's head, and his panicking face stretches until it splits. Ruafo walks calmly away, leaving the dead Admiral lying back on the long treatment chair and the shattered glass and overturned equipment on the floor. Now Ruafo strides onto his bridge.
Admiral Doughty will not be joining us for dinner. Deploy the Collector.
Gallatin stares at him.
Do you have a problem with that order?
I talk to you alone.
Deploy the Collector.
Yes, sir.
The pair step into Ruafo's ready room.
Moving them is one thing, killing them all...
No one hated them more than you, Golna. We've come a long way together. This is the moment we've planned for so many years. Separate the Starfleet personnel and secure them in the aft cargo hold. See that Picard joins them.
The shields in that section won't protect them against the thermolytic reaction.
Thank you for reminding me.
Ruafo takes a seat at a large view screen overlooking the huge Collector orbiting the ringed planet. Gallatin glares at him harshly before leaving. The Collector resembles an enormous metallic seed pod. Long narrow panels split apart along its length, and hinged arms slowly angle outwards. Shimmering and roughly semicircular copper-coloured sails unfurl at the end of the arms, veined like colossal insect wings. As the two sails tighten to their full shape, the Collector angles to present their flat surfaces to the planet's rings.
Jean-Luc.
Gallatin and guards arrive, disturbing Picard's subtle sabotage. The cell force field is lowered, and Gallatin steps in, armed.
Come with me.
Picard steps forward and rubs Anish's arm softly with a smile. Gallatin marches him away at gunpoint, and the force field's reactivated.
It must have been strange for you when you were a hostage, surrounded by all the friends and family you knew all those years ago, each one looking exactly as they did then, like looking through the eyes of childhood again. Here you are, closing those eyes,
trying not to see what bitterness has done to the Sona, how it's turned Ruafo into a madman, and you, turned you into a coward. A man who denies his own conscience.
Get in.
Gallatin gestures darkly to the open door, and they step through.
Coward without the moral courage to prevent an atrocity. You offend me.
Is this how a Federation officer pleads for his life?
I'm not pleading for my life.
He turns to Gallatin.
I'm pleading for yours. You can still go home, Galna.
They stare at each other in the eye. Gallatin deactivates his weapon, then lowers it.
Computer, close turbolift doors. What you're asking me to do is impossible.
You know how to disable the ejector.
But I would need to be on the bridge. The crew is loyal to Ruafo. An assault would fail.
Perhaps we can lure him away.
It doesn't matter where he is. As soon as he realizes something's happening, he'll override my commands with one word to his comlink.
If he doesn't realize something's happening... Can you get me to a transmitter? I need to speak with Data and Worf down on the planet. We'll need their help.
Deck 12.
Initiate separation protocols.
Activating ejector assembly.
Separation in 3 minutes.
Small craft is coming up from the surface. It's powering up its weapons.
On screen.
One person aboard. It's the android.
He's now a threat.
From the small ship, Data fires at Ruafo's vessel.
Data to Picard.
Go ahead, Data.
Captain, they're ignoring my attack.
Keep firing tachyon bursts into the shield grid.
Is Worf in position?
Yes, sir. He is ready for simultaneous transport.
We're approaching the bridge. We can't out.
Ruafo's shields deflect Data's blasts.
Separation in 1 minute.
Sir, the Federation ship is creating a disruption in our shields.
If they go out of phase, it will increase our exposure to the thermolytic reaction.
Very well. Destroy that ship. Reset our shield harmonics. Do not delay the countdown.
Ruafo's ship fires back at Data.
Data to Picard. They are rotating their shield harmonics. I am attempting to return to the surface, sir.
The Federation ship has been disabled.
Separation in 20 seconds.
The room glows.
What is that?
I don't know. Systems don't seem affected.
Separation in 10 seconds. 5 seconds.
Ejector assembly has separated.
Ruafo watches a small section fly away from the collector. The object flies into the rings surrounding the planet, and what looked like expanding concentric rings of smoke appear from where it vanished.
Exactly as the simulations predicted.
The blossoming clouds appear to have destroyed the rings.
I'm not showing any change in metaphasic flux levels.
Your scanners must be malfunctioning.
All ship functions are offline.
How can there be no ship functions if the view screen is working? Artificial gravity is stable. Life support is...
Ruafo notices a small portion of a console glowing curiously. He steps over to it and reaches up to touch the glowing area.
A holodeck.
He draws his weapon, activates it, aims at the ceiling, and fires. A large glowing area of circuitry appears over the ceiling. He fires at a wall and the same thing happens. He shoots grimly at another wall, revealing a previously hidden door. The edges of his illusionary bridge flicker around the real doorway. He steps through into a grey room and looks around.
We were transported to the hollow ship when we reset our shields. Everything we saw was an illusion. Ruafo, authorization Delta 2-1. Override all interlink commands to Injector Assembly 1.
Unable to comply. Injector Assembly 1 has been deactivated.
On Ruafo's real bridge.
All injector subsystems aboard the collector are confirmed offline.
Declock the holoship and engage a tractor beam.
Aye, sir.
The holoship appears as a wavy image becoming solid. Gallatin gets up from his seat aboard the real ship.
Crew knows something's happened. I've secured the bridge.
This ship is equipped with 14 long-range transporters. Are they all useless?
They must have been locked and secured after we were beamed here.
Isolate one and reroute its command sequence through the auxiliary processor.
Sir, there's nothing we can do. They already have control of our ship.
I don't plan on going back to our ship.
Mr. Worf, destroy that thing.
Aye, sir. Weapon systems have been taken offline.
Crew is rerouting bridge controls.
Worf looks at a console.
Captain, there's a problem aboard the collector. The launch sequence has resumed.
Collector shields have been raised. Someone's on board.
It's Ruafo.
Can you override the launch sequence from here?
Not without his access codes.
Is there a self-destruct?
Yes, but without the codes, it would have to be activated at the upper control matrix on the collector.
Mr. Worf, try and find some way to beam through those shields.
You'd have to detonate it manually. There'd only be a 2-second delay.
We may be able to transport between the shield generators if we are within 100 meters.
Take us into position.
To Worf.
Remain at your post, Commander. I need you to beam me back.
We're approaching the collector. 1 minute before separation, you'll see the cryogenic tanks venting. Weapons fire could ignite the exhaust.
Gallatin maneuvers Ruafo's ship closer to the collector. At a control station inside the towering collector.
Separation in 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Ruafo presses controls on a console as Picard beams in.
Intruder alert! Intruder alert!
Ruafo fires at him, but the maze of internal girders offers Picard some cover. He runs between the girders and begins to climb as Ruafo fires again. Picard fires back. Aboard Ruafo's ship, Gallatin and Worf hear people coming. Ruafo's crew come running and lay into Gallatin and Worf. Worf punches his attackers and slams one into another.
Worf!
Picard continues to climb the massive shaft inside the collector. Aboard the Enterprise.
I'm picking up Captain Picard's biosignature on board the collector.
Enterprise to Picard.
Number one,
we're approaching your position. Do you need assistance?
I may need a lift in a minute or so.
We're on our way.
Separation in 1 minute.
Ruafo takes aim again, but his vision's obscured by vented gas. Picard has reached a gantry that extends, bridging the void, to meet a control station. He steps up to the console, removes a panel, and turns an illuminated round dial, which he then removes. The Enterprise is shaken.
Report!
It's Ruafo's ship!
On screen.
Sensors are reading over 100 Baku on board, and one Klingon.
Target their ventral engines and life support. Set a collision course.
Ruafo aims at Picard.
Stop!
Picard turns round.
Ruafo, we're getting too old for this.
After today, that won't be a problem for either of us.
Separation in 30 seconds.
You're really going to risk igniting the exhaust? All right. I will!
No!
Picard fires, producing a bright flash of flame that knocks Ruafo off the gantry. He falls, but manages to grab hold of the edge.
Shields at 60%!
Hold your course.
He wouldn't.
Yes, he would.
Now!
The Enterprise looms closer and closer, banking at the last moment. As it sweeps past, it fires on Ruafo's ship that his crew have retaken.
Stand by, Captain. We're right around the corner.
Sorry. Time's up.
Picard plugs a device into the console, turning graphics red and triggering explosions at the far end of the collector, just as Ruafo hauls himself back up onto the gantry. He looks down in dismay at the explosions consuming his collector. The flames gush higher and higher. Just as they reach the level of the control station, Picard is beamed out. Ruafo is consumed in the blaze. The entire structure explodes, and the Enterprise races away from the expanding fireball.
Capture, number one.
The Federation Council has asked me to inform you that the Baku relocation will be halted while they conduct a top-level review.
Sir, Ruafo's ship is hailing us.
On screen.
Captain, the Soda crew would like to negotiate a ceasefire. It may have something to do with the fact that we have 3 minutes of air left.
We have plenty over here, Mr. Worf. Prepare to beam aboard.
The Baku people have returned home. Deanna waves to Riker.
You think when we get away from this metaphasic radiation, it'll change the way we feel?
Your feelings about her have not changed since the day I met you, Commander. This place just let them out for a little fresh air.
Sojev to Picard and Anish.
I wish there were a way to bring them back home.
Ask them.
I'm afraid there's too much bitterness on both sides.
Beverly has brought a Baku woman to meet Gallatin.
Mother and son. You arranged this?
I thought it might begin the healing process.
Beverly leaves the pair standing shyly together. Slowly, the woman takes her son in her arms, and he puts his arm around her.
What am I going to do without you?
I wish I could stay. But these are perilous times for the Federation. I can't abandon it to people who would threaten everything that I've spent a lifetime defending. I have to go back, if only to slow things down at the Federation Council. But I have 318 days of shore leave coming, and I intend to use them.
Artem's face pops out of a pile of hay, smiling. Data's pokes out of another next to it, frowning.
Data, it's time to go.
I have to go home now.
Bye.
Bye.
Once they've emerged from the hay, Data brushes some off Artem's back, and he brushes some off Data's shoulder. They walk up to Sojev, who smiles.
Mr. Data, I hope we'll see you again.
They shake hands. As Data goes to join the others waiting to transport...
Oh, Data! Don't forget, you have to have a little fun every day.
Good advice.
Data pretends there's something on Riker's top. When he looks down, Data flicks his nose. Picard and Anise share a tender smile. Then Picard joins the others.
Picard to Enterprise, 7 to beam up.
Anish gazes at him wistfully.
Energize.
He smiles back as the team shimmer and disappear. Now the Enterprise heads away into space.